ever felt like you're playing a high-stakes game of telephone at work, but instead of whispering, different departments are shouting entirely different messages.
Oh,
Like
absolutely.
there are these invisible, almost soundproof walls cutting off vital information, blocking good ideas.
Yeah, stifling collaboration. It's a frustratingly common scenario, that internal friction.
Right. You can almost feel the untapped potential just sitting there, held back.
Fragmented efforts, exactly. These are what we often call organizational silos. But as our sources reveal, they're way more insidious than just lines on an org chart.
Exactly. These aren't just, minor communication glitches. They're deep-seated barriers that can absolutely cripple innovation and growth.
Definitely.
Today, we're doing a deep dive into dismantling these very silos and unlocking what our sources call true organizational potential.
Right.
Our mission is to pull out the most crucial, maybe even surprising, nuggets of knowledge to help you understand not just what silos are, but how to effectively break them down.
And we'll be drawing some really powerful insights from an article, Tearing Down Silos and Unlocking Your Organizational Potential by Leo Botari. And crucially, we've also got this compelling visual framework, the final PP model, which gives us a clear roadmap for achieving what the author calls peak performance. Think of it like seeing the whole chess match, not just your own piece.
Okay, so let's unpack this. The article makes a really interesting point right away. Silos are more than just structure. It's a human problem.
Yeah, that's fascinating, isn't it? The idea that it's not just an organizational quirk, but a deep-seated human habit.
How so?
Well, the article argues we kind of grow up with them. Think about school subjects, math, science, English, all kept rigidly separate.
Huh. I never thought of it like that.
And then we unconsciously just carry that into organizations, marketing, finance, sales, often in their own lanes, sometimes even, guarding their turf.
Which explains why they're everywhere and so costly.
Devastatingly costly. Costly feels like an understatement when you see the numbers the article mentions.
Global losses in the trillions due to these divisions.
Trillions. It's staggering. It's like this constant silent bleed across the global economy.
An invisible tax on progress.
That's a good way to put it. Imagine teams unknowingly building the same thing, or worse,
Sabotaging each other.
through conflicting priorities. Exactly. The article details a duplicated work, wasted resources, innovation just stalled because nobody's talking to each other properly.
And goes beyond the financial drain, right? There's this erosion of trust.
Oh, absolutely critical. The source explains how when you operate in a silo, it's easy to assume colleagues in other departments are being selfish or maybe even deliberately holding back info.
Which leads to defensive behaviors.
Yeah, people guard their knowledge. They fear it might be used against them or twisted instead of sharing it openly for the collective good.
And in today's world, that's just dangerous.
The article stresses that in our fast-changing economy, silos aren't just inefficient, they are genuinely dangerous. They make you slow, fragile, maybe even irrelevant eventually.
Okay, so the cost, the danger, it's high. What's the flip side? The incentive for change must be huge, too.
It is. Research consistently shows organizations with higher collaboration levels just significantly outperform the siloed ones.
But it's not about forcing people to collaborate, is it?
No, that's the key difference. It's about creating an environment where people want to collaborate, where they genuinely see the benefits for themselves, their teams, the whole organization.
Shifting from duty to inclination.
Exactly. Driven by shared purpose, mutual benefit. And that's where this framework, the final PP model, really helps show the path.
Right, the path forward. This is where it gets really interesting. Our sources talk about seeing the whole chessboard.
Harnessing the power of
And
peers
this isn't just for the C-suite, right? It applies everywhere.
to work teams, whole organizations. It inspires learning, accountability, growth right across the board.
Which brings us to the final PP model.
Yeah.
You mentioned it's like a Venn diagram.
Yeah, that's right. Picture three interconnected circles: psychological safety, productivity, and accountability. And right in the middle, where all three overlap, that sweet spot, that's PP or peak performance, that's where organizations truly thrive.
That model clicks immediately. You see the synergy. Let's dig into each pillar because the article explains how each one actively helps dismantle silos. First, psychological safety. Not just being nice.
Oh, far from it. The article really hammers this home. Psychological safety isn't just about comfort, it's the essential bedrock.
White bedrock.
Because it's what allows, say, a sales rep to openly question a marketing strategy or an engineer to flag a potential issue in finance's budget.
Without fear of getting shut down or punished.
Exactly. Without fear of professional retaliation or dismissal, it encourages that constructive friction across boundaries, the honest dialogue that sparks real innovation.
Without it, good ideas just stay locked up in their departments.
Precisely.
So it's the permission to speak up, question, offer a different perspective, knowing it'll be valued. That feels crucial. Okay, how does this openness then connect to productivity?
Well, when psychological safety is there and people share openly, productivity naturally goes up. Why? Because you eliminate duplication.
Ah, right. The wasted effort we talked about.
Exactly. Resources get aligned toward common goals. Mm. When departments are siloed, they often repeat work or, worse, chase conflicting objectives.
So collaboration across silos means more efficient use of time, energy.
Directly leads to higher organizational output, better results. It's about everyone pulling in the same direction, not just pulling hard individually.
Less rework, less internal competition, more focus. Makes sense. But what about the third leg, accountability? That can be tricky. How does the article redefine it to encourage cross-functional success?
Yeah, that's a key insight. Accountability shifts. It moves from being isolated within a department
to being shared
across the whole enterprise. It's about building structures where teams are accountable not just for their own metrics, but for how their actions impact the whole organization.
So my team's success depends on helping other teams succeed too.
Right. When peers accept personal responsibility for bringing their best, for setting the example, it lifts everyone's game, individual and collective. Accountability becomes less a burden, more a shared commitment to excellence.
Okay, so bring those three together. Psychological safety, productivity, accountability. What's the collective impact? How does this really transform a siloed organization?
It's truly transformative. The article points to two profound outcomes. First, this deep sense of belonging.
Belonging beyond just your immediate team.
Yes, transcending departmental identity. Employees feel rooted in the mission of the entire organization. They see themselves not just as marketing or operations, but as vital contributors to a shared vision. They identify with the bigger purpose.
So I'm not just a finance person. I am contributing to the company's mission, and I'm connected to the person in sales and product through that mission. That's a big shift.
It is. And the second outcome, accelerated continuous learning.
How does that happen?
Ideas just flow freely across functions. When peers engage beyond their silos, they get exposed to totally different perspectives. It broadens their understanding, challenges assumptions.
Makes them more adaptable.
Hugely. Enhances adaptability in this dynamic world. Imagine finance really getting the nuances of customer service, or marketing getting deep insights directly from ops. It breaks down those learned biases.
That sounds, well, ideal. It genuinely redefines high performance, doesn't it? Replacing rigid thinking with a culture where peers actually help each other succeed.
Both within and outside their formal roles. It's a complete cultural transformation, not just, you know, shuffling the org chart.
It's not just structural.
And it's not just theory. The article moves beyond the model to give practical steps because this is a cultural shift. It needs intentional action.
Fantastic. Because we need the how. The article stresses this isn't an overnight demolition job.
No, it requires intentionally designing opportunities. For connection, for alignment.
Building bridges, not just hoping the walls crumble.
Exactly. And the author, Leo Botteatri, gives 6 practical steps for leaders. First, start with purpose.
Ah, the fundamental why. How does reinforcing the core purpose help break down silos? Seems basic, but
it's foundational. When that bigger mission is clear, constantly reinforced, people are just less likely to get into those territorial battles.
They see the bigger picture.
They understand their contribution in context. It gives everyone a common rallying cry that goes beyond departmental loyalty, shows the value of collaborating for the collective good.
A North Star for everyone. Makes sense. Okay, step two.
Step two, design peer learning opportunities. This means setting up explicit cross-functional forums, peer groups, workshops.
Not just talking shops, though.
No, designed for co-creation, sharing best practices, tackling shared challenges together. The article mentions how CEO peer groups thrive on this dynamic.
And it works at any level.
Just as powerful for teams. Think how much you can learn from someone outside your function when you solve a complex problem together.
I can just imagine the fresh perspectives. Okay, step three, foster cross-accountability. How do we build structures for that, where teams are accountable beyond their own metrics?
It's about expanding that scope of responsibility. The article gives a great example. a marketing team measured not just on campaign results,
but on
how it measurably supports sales conversions and enhances customer experience.
Ah, so it forces them to look upstream and downstream.
Exactly. To actively understand and support their peers, not just hit their isolated targets. It shifts the mindset from my department's win to our organizational win.
That really changes the game. Internal competition becomes collaboration. Step four.
Encourage role fluidity. Give people chances to contribute beyond their job descriptions.
Like project teams, innovation labs.
Or even brief shadowing programs. These experiences build huge empathy and understanding across functions. When you walk a mile in someone else's shoes.
You get it. You appreciate their challenges, their contributions. Breaks down those walls naturally.
Totally. Tangible bridge building. Okay, fifth step. Recognize and celebrate collaboration. Why is formal recognition so key here?
Because what gets celebrated gets repeated.
You got it. The article stresses using incentives, recognition programs that specifically highlight successful cross-silo work.
So not just individual achievements.
No, leaders visibly celebrating collective wins. It reinforces the desired behavior, making collaboration part of the organizational DNA. Signals that working together is truly valued.
Got it. And finally, step six, maybe the most crucial. Lead by example.
Absolutely. Leaders set the tone. If the exec team operates in silos, guarding their turf,
the rest of the organization will follow.
Inevitably. Leaders must visibly model transparency, curiosity, collaboration themselves. Their actions speak louder than any memo. It's the ultimate test.
That's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, the article says eliminating silos boils down to human connection.
It really does. Recognizing that while org charts might divide us structurally,
our shared humanity, our shared goals unite us.
It's truly about great leaders empowering people to look beyond those limits, to tap into their potential to make each other better, to see beyond their own team's borders.
Imagine that ideal organization. Finance, learning from frontline customer service, marketing, getting insights from ops, leadership, drawing lessons from everywhere.
The article says this isn't just a dream. It's reality for organizations that intentionally embrace this peer-driven collaboration. Silos genuinely give way to vibrant bridges.
And it ends beautifully with that line from Sikyu Anders.
The whole becomes far greater than the sum of our smarts. Perfectly captures it. That collective intelligence, unleashed, it's exponentially more powerful.
Wow, what an incredible deep dive. We've covered transforming isolation into integration.
Suspicion into trust.
Inefficiency into peak productivity. That framework, psychological safety.
And it definitely highlights that commitment, relentless intentionality are needed. But the rewards, transformative for individuals, teams, the whole organization, makes you truly agile.
So as you go about your day, here's a provocative thought for you to ponder. Consider your own daily interactions, where it's just one small opportunity, a chance for you to intentionally foster an aspect of psychological safety or productivity or accountability. Maybe in your immediate team, maybe just with one colleague today, what's one bridge you can start building right now?